So again, if we could turn to Matthew 13, verses 34 to 36. That's wrong as well. Okay. Verse 44 to 46. I need prayer. So I'm going to pray for myself and pray for us all as we look at these verses together. Father God, we thank you for this time. And Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it teaches us. And Father, now we pray that you would help me and help us all listen and let you speak to us. May we have hearts which are open, ready to hear and receive and to act upon what we hear, Lord. Help us all now, we pray, Lord. Amen. Some things come about what appears to be by accident. And other things happen through sheer hard work and determination. You get people like that, don't you? Whereby things just happen, and other people, it happens through hard work and determination. Maybe that's how it was for you at school. As we spend this time now, and some of us have loved ones, family members who are revising. Some of our family will just do the bare minimum and fly. And then you've got others who work hard with real determination, and they get the results, but they've had to work a lot harder. Well, I want to start this evening with two examples from the academic world where things happened and treasures were found. One was found by accident and one was found by sheer determination. So let me just explain one or two of these illustrations. Well, there was one famous example of a discovery which was made by complete accident, and it was the discovery of penicillin. I don't know if you know about what happened in the discovery of penicillin. In August 1928, the Scottish biologist Alexander Fleming went off on holiday. And when he came back to work on the 3rd of September of the same year, he observed a strange fungus on a culture he had left in his laboratory, which killed all the surrounding bacteria. He, from that, had discovered penicillin. Just like that. Now, the scientists among you would obviously know that there was a little bit more to it than that. But from the Malay folk around us, there was that point that it just happened by accident. And so some great discoveries are made by complete accident. But some discoveries take place by careful research. And a good example of this is the discovery of the light bulb. So I don't know if you know much about how the light bulb came into being. And this was developed by a physicist from Gateshead. His name was Joseph Swan. But it took many years of hard work. And in 1850, he began his experiments. In 1860, he produced a working device and got a patent. But the light bulb design was too inefficient. Finally, in 1880, he got a patent for this new type of light bulb and began installing it in homes all over the country. 30 years of hard work for this to take place. So I go back to what I started with. Some great discoveries are made by complete accident, and some occur by careful research. This is true in the academic field. But can I say this evening that this is can be true in God's kingdom? And I'll look at that now in a moment. How some people appear to find God and his kingdom by accident. And some people discover God through great searching and kind of delving into things, which can take years and years and years. Let's just pick up where we've left off. Jesus is teaching, as we know, about God's kingdom. That is the kingdom of which Jesus is the king. The emphasis always needs to be on Jesus as the king. Jesus is the rightful king of the world, but his kingdom doesn't grow by political influence or military strength, but by people discovering that he is king. And Jesus here is teaching about God's kingdom. And he's using this literary teaching device, as we know, called parables. And these are stories which contain a spiritual meaning. They communicate the truth about God's kingdom to those who will listen carefully, but hide the truth from those who won't listen carefully. And in this little section of just three verses, he's teaching what it's like to enter the kingdom, God's kingdom. And he uses two pithy little stories to explain this. So, verse 44 was the first little story. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It's a story you can almost fit in a tweet. You know, 140 characters. I know there's a little more than that, but in that short space of two sentences, you can see what's going on in the story. It's an everyday kind of man who's working away, does the routines of the day. He's hard working. He's minding his own business. He's probably quite poor. And he can't believe his eyes as he finds treasure in a field. The man, though, isn't looking for treasure. He's doing his everyday task. And then he comes across this treasure. And what does it say? He's filled with joy. He wants it. And he sells everything in order to get it. Those of you taking notes, this is the point. God's kingdom is like the treasure that is found by accident. That's the first point. God's kingdom for some is found by accident by some. See, some people hear about Jesus by accident. They weren't looking for Jesus, but what appears by accident, they came across by hearing the gospel. Jesus and his saving power. And this was maybe your story, that you weren't searching, you weren't reading the Bible and trying to figure out what was going on. But this was certainly true of my grandfather in the early 20th century. He had been working down the mine all day. He was he recalled this story to me in his later life. He was walking down the road. All he could think about were three things. Those three things was a cooked dinner at the end of the day after his shift, a bath, and some sleep. Those were the three things that he was looking forward to. But whilst he was walking past a little battered old mission hall in South Wales Valleys, he heard the sound of singing. And it must have been beautiful for him then to go into this mission hall and to hear what was going on. See, until this point, all he was thinking about was his physical need of food, cleaning up the grime, the dirt, the soot, the coal, the grime, the sweat that he had had on him from working down the mine. And like I said, getting a good night's sleep, some rest. However, instead of these physical needs, he was instead made clean within, filled spiritually by the one who gives living bread, and promised rest not for a night, but for eternity. Praise God for that. And we can see that this man wasn't looking for the treasure. He wasn't searching for the Lord in our terms. And for some of us, that may have been our story, that we were not on some kind of search to try and find the Lord Jesus. But Jesus came into our lives. We may have thought by accident. It was no accident to the Lord, you understand. But praise God that he had put treasure in this man, in this farmer's way. And also for many of you this evening, many of us this evening, we also have stumbled across this treasure. And again, in my prayer earlier, I was kind of speaking about it. But let's put that as a prayer for maybe our family and our friends. See, don't give up on people if they don't appear at the moment to be searching. They are, after all, only one step away. They're only one step away from discovering this treasure for themselves. Brothers and sisters tonight, let us keep praying for them. Let's look for the opportunities, yes, but let's keep praying for them that they would discover this treasure for themselves. You see, although some of our friends can't see the treasure, God can do the unexpected. So let's keep praying for them. So that's the first story. The farmer, verse 34. And then verse 35 and 36, we have the merchant. Look down with me. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Imagine now someone who's a jeweler, who's searching for the most highly prized jewelry in the world. Now, Google has the answer to my next question, but do you know the most expensive prized possession, prized jewelry in the world at the moment? Don't say Bethany's ring. But, apparently it's called the Gaff Pink. Anyone know the Gaff Pink? Look it up later. G-A-F-F Pink. It's said to be worth the most expensive piece of jewelry in the world. It was sold for a staggering $46 million in November 2010. $46 million. And like I said, it was known as the Gaff Pink. It's classified as a type 2 colored diamond and has a perfect rating, which you won't find at Elizabeth Duke in Argos, by the way. And it has a price of about $1.85 million per carat. That's a lot of carats then to make it up, obviously, to the $46 million. But in this story, here's this merchant who finds something amazing. And he pays for it with all that he has. And this is how amazing this treasure is. This is how amazing this piece of jewelry is. Have you thought about how precious the treasure is? How precious the Lord Jesus is? See, for us who have maybe been Christians for many years, Jesus can so often be a word, a doctrine, an argument. But he's far more than that, isn't he? He's far more than a way that we can hook our arguments. He should be far more than our creed and far more than our doctrine. A little exercise I'd like you to do while I'm speaking. I'd like you to think about the person or the people that you love the most. Think about them. Think about who they are. Think about their name, yes. But think about what they mean to you and why they mean to you. They mean a lot, don't they? They mean a lot to us. They mean a lot. They are, in earthly terms, our treasure. We would do anything for our treasures. You know, our children, our spouses, those that are around us. We love them so much. They are far more than a name. They are far more than a label. They are our everything. And the challenge is Jesus. Is he more to us than a name, than a creed, than an argument, than a badge, than a label? Do we love Jesus in the same way, and if not more, than those treasures that we have in this life? It's a challenge. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he said, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost some things, all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection," Paul said, "and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead." Paul, as he spoke, although he was full of great doctrines and great creeds and spoke about the Lord Jesus, Jesus to him was his everything, that he was prepared to lay down everything for the Lord Jesus. Great challenge. See, some of you may have come to the Lord Jesus, like I say, in a kind of a stumbling way of coming to him by accident, but he's still meant to be our treasure. However, maybe some of you who are maybe more great analytical thinkers had to work things out. Maybe some of you read Frank Morrison's book, Who Moved the Stone, or Lee Strobel's Case for Christ. And they're good books, and we need to search for the evidence. We need to see the reliability of the scriptures. And whichever way it is, Jesus still needs to be our treasure. And you know, did you have that light bulb moment when you saw the worth of Jesus? When you gave up everything for him? And the point is quite clearly, isn't it? God's kingdom is like the pearl which the merchant discovered by careful searching. See, some people are looking for answers to life's big questions. And it's great that we can use opportunities in the news and use those as a kind of an apologetic way of speaking, of interacting with people, of getting under people's skins. So questions like, what is the meaning of life? Where can I find forgiveness? Where can I find truth? Where can I find love? However it is that people find this treasure, in some ways it's irrelevant. But people need to discover this treasure, the Lord Jesus, for themselves. When people find Jesus, the response is the same. Just as the farmer and the merchant find that they have found real treasure and give up everything, it's the same for us. God's kingdom is the most valuable treasure in the whole world, and it's worth giving up everything for it. As Paul said, he considers everything loss compared to knowing Jesus. Perspective, isn't it? When we see how great Jesus is, everything else goes to that fade out, goes into a blur. When we focus, when we have that sharp, focused, high definition, 4K, 5K, whatever it is, on Jesus, everything else in the background goes into a blur. But why is it so important to know Jesus? Well, firstly, God's kingdom is the most valuable treasure in the world. Some, like I said, find this treasure by accident. Some folk find it deliberately. But both stories in our passage, the response to this kingdom is the same. Just as the farmer and the merchant both realize that they found real treasure and they give up everything for it, so for us today. However you discover it, God's kingdom is the most valuable treasure in the world. And it's worth giving up everything for it. But why is it so wonderful to know Jesus? Well, the gospel speaks, doesn't it? We often speak on courses like Christianity Explored, and people object. Some Christians even object to to folk speaking about sin, for folk to hear about God's judgment. Well, you need to know about God's judgment and the sin before you realize what you have been saved from. This is the great news. This is our gospel. Jesus cleans our hearts from the moral impurity which we can't clean up on our own. He protects us. It's just things that are listed this week. He protects us from evil. Evil spirits. He welcomes us into a massive worldwide family. He calls us to serve him and gives us work. It's a privilege, brothers and sisters, tonight to serve the Lord Jesus. And he offers us eternal life in a perfect new world. Secondly, God's kingdom is worth giving up everything to have it. Even when this is costly. You know, some people tonight, as we know, as Barbara and Bob thankfully remind us a few times a month of the suffering of many Christians today. Why would you suffer? Because you know there is a greater treasure. Why do you keep going? Because there is a greater treasure. God's kingdom is worth more than anything this world can give. Remember the merchant. Remember the merchant that sold everything in order to get his hands on this great prize. And then thirdly, Christians should appreciate the treasure of knowing Jesus more and more. Are you tonight appreciating the treasure of knowing Jesus more and more? Again, listen to Paul as he speaks to the church at Colossae, Colossians 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. Do we tonight treasure the Lord Jesus? This year I've spent a lot of time in the book of Colossians, and in the book of Colossians there is always that on the brink, the Christians, they're on the brink of trying to add or to take away from the gospel in the Lord Jesus. For some it was to go back to their old ways, to go back to their old religion. For others it was to add to the gospel of the philosophies of the age, of angel worship, etc. And all of us here, we can read on, can't we? We do it all the time, and we look and we laugh and we think, huh, how could they do that? We're not far away, are we? We can turn our gospel message into a religion of works. Likewise, we can turn this gospel and add other things on. And we can say, have we experienced whatever the latest experience is? And almost dress up the Christian faith to be a gospel plus. There's no need for a gospel plus. The treasure tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus is all we need. He is our treasure. In Christ we have everything that we need. So this evening, let's make the Lord Jesus number one. And for some of us here this evening, maybe our focus has gone from Jesus. And Jesus has become that blur in that frame, in that picture. And those other things have become more important. Well, tonight, let's refocus. Let's make sure that Jesus is our focus. That Jesus is the one that we make the most important thing. When I was younger, 5, 10, 15, 30 years ago, whatever. I know I don't look it. But I often looked at some people and think, wow, I wish I had their experience. Or I wish I had a testimony like theirs. certainly at Bible college, where you had the kind of the testimonies of folk literally going from rags to riches, you can so often get distracted and think, if only my testimony was like that. And yet, that's immaterial in some ways. The focus is on the treasure. The focus is on knowing the Lord Jesus. So let's make sure that Jesus is the one that we go to. That Jesus is our default. But you know, the other thing this evening is that daily we will take our eyes off Jesus. Daily our focus will be on other things, on other treasures. But you know what? Every day we are to repent. Every day we are to confess. We are to confess because it reminds us that we are weak and we need saving daily. That we need to be people who are sorry. We are people who are daily repenting of the fact that Jesus isn't always our treasure. For some of you, maybe he is your treasure and it's only the one or two days in the year that he isn't. But for me anyway, I need to refocus and realize that Jesus is my treasure. And how do I do that? I do that in the simple way of reading God's word, of seeing the treasures in God's words, of devoting myself, of walking with him, of knowing that I am a child of God, of spending time with God's people, of reminding myself that Jesus is my treasure and I've been given a family to remind me that Jesus is my treasure. See, again, coming to church can turn into that religion. But let's refocus to remind ourselves that we are all dualists, that we are all sharing Jesus and the great treasure of Jesus together. We should be sharing this treasure with each other, yes, to the world, but with each other. It was a great challenge in our home group a few weeks ago when we spoke about what we speak about with each other after the church service. I know I was challenged by that. Often we can turn into business and turn about things which aren't treasure. So the challenge to me, the challenge to all of us, let's make our conversations be about the Lord Jesus and his treasure. Let's encourage ourselves with the treasure that we have. Because this treasure does not spoil or fade or rust. This treasure becomes purer and purer. And as we see the Lord Jesus in our lives, as others see it, we encourage each other. So let us focus on Jesus, who is our treasure. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you this evening that we can know you, that we can focus on the Lord Jesus, who is our treasure. Forgive us for those times when he isn't our treasure. But Father, we thank you tonight again for the fact that we can turn back to you. That we can see you for who you are. That as we see the Lord Jesus, we are reminded of our sin. The way that we are impure. The way that we are not maybe what we should be. But also, Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus calls us to himself. So, Father, we pray now that we would make Jesus our treasure at all time and in all things. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn tonight. Often I choose the hymns by the ones I know. But I've been given this little bit of software. Praise, do this great online service. And you type in your Bible passage, and then it comes up with a load of hymns. And if I'm honest, there's a lot of them I don't know. But these words speak quite clearly and really helpfully about some of the things that I've talked about tonight. And I'm told it's a tune, Teresa, is that right? That no one will know. So I've asked the band to play and sing through the first verse. And then we will repeat the first verse again together, and we'll join you in singing, okay?